if something doesn't serve you, you don't have to keep doing it. The point is that this needs to serve you. That's the whole point of doing an NPR.
This is Superfast Business with James Schranko. Helping you build your business super fast.
James Schranko here. Welcome to superfastbusiness.com. And this is episode 3 of the Power Focus series. I have, again, my special guest, Anita Chaperon.
Hey.
So in this particular episode, we're going to be talking about how to review and optimize and evolve your MPR for the long term. If you've just arrived at this episode and you didn't listen to episode number 1 or number 2, then please go back and look for the Power Focus series on superfastbusiness.com. You want to be looking for the episode called How to Create Your MPR. In that episode, we talk about what an MPR is, and it'll make a lot more sense if you listen to that first. We'll give you a great acronym to learn to take you through your morning power routine. In the second episode, we talked about how to execute and why it might be different for you than it is for Anita or it is for me. I talked about how I'm doing it wrong and whether I should change. I had some interesting results there. There's also a handy check sheet you can download that you can get started with, and we encourage comments below that episode. But in this episode, we're going to assume that you know what an MPR is, you've got your acronym sorted out, you've started executing, you're getting some interesting results and feedback. I might just start, Anita, by saying, what should we be expecting by now when we've got this happening? What sort of timeline and progression should we be experiencing?
Yeah, that's a brilliant question. So the most common thing you should be expecting is to fail quite a few times in the first week, even the first month. You'll find all sorts of excuses why you can't meditate properly and you rubbish at journaling or your affirmations are just woo-woo or whatever. So just go along with those things. I would say usually I advise go for the first week with what you've decided, with your original elements. Just commit to doing it as much as you can. And then write down, as you're journaling, write down whatever works, whatever doesn't work, without judging it. Just write it down. And then with the mind that you'll evaluate it after the first week and make any necessary tweaks. So you will most definitely make tweaks at the end of week one. That's for sure. So once you've gone through week one, and providing you've done it quite a few times, there's actually a very useful service that I want to kind of put in as a recommendation. It's called AskMeEvery.com. And basically, that's a service where you go in and very simplistically just set up a question. You set up when do you want that question to be emailed to you. And what they do is they email you the question. Let's say, did you do your MPR today? Right. And then you just answer with a yes or a no, reply to that email. And then at the end of the week, they give you a report of how well you've executed. So we found that that's quite catchy for people that are just starting out, because there's like a competition of, you know, oh, I've got a 80% compliance rate or whatever. So if that works for you, it's a good service to use.
That's good. I liked it that you mentioned the harsh fact is that there'll be some failure, but we shouldn't see that as failure in the term that we're used to hearing it as, like, that it's a real negative. It's what we should be looking at is perhaps degrees of success. Maybe we've been 80% successful rather than, you know, we failed, because that could be really hard on our impression of ourselves. So expect that there'll be some take-up rate to get to 100% perfection.
Yes. And keep thinking in terms of, okay, what is my end result that I want and why am I doing this? And be ruthless, be brutal. If something doesn't serve you, you don't have to keep doing it. The point is that this needs to serve you. That's the whole point of doing an MPR. So be very, very protective over what your goals are and then filter everything through it. And then it's not a failure. It's just the point of optimizing things, right? If you find an element doesn't work, like a meditation thing, you said you wanted to meditate for 15 minutes, but you can only sit still for 5, start with 5. That's perfect. And then when you find that, and you will find that, by the way, with meditation, you'll come to a point where 5 minutes is too little and you'll want more, so then add more then. There's no prescription. There's no a right way of doing it. The only way to do it is that it enhances your day. You know, that's the only thing, the only prerequisite.
So how often should we be reviewing our MPR?
That's a brilliant question. Okay, so in change-based psychology, there is a stage that you reach in which you need to stop reviewing, right? Otherwise, you're basically regressing. So I usually say start with the first week and do this thing, monitor, observe, see where the gaps are, then review it and tweak it. And then commit to doing the tweaked version for a month. Now, I know a month sounds like a long time, but what works really, really well for people that are in business and have their own business is just to basically say, I'm going to do this for a month. No questions asked. I know what I'm in for because I've already tested it. I've filled the gaps, you know, and just see what happens. Run it as an experiment. Still write down whatever you're experiencing as you're progressing through the entire month, but commit to not making any changes. And what that's going to do for you by the end of the 1 month, it's going to teach you so much about you, you know. And everything is a lesson, whether it's a positive or a negative lesson, it's a lesson. So just coming out of that, you'll either find out that actually you didn't need a morning power routine because you were quite fine the way you were before, in which case, great, because, you know, you scored. Or you'll find that this morning power routine is changing your entire life. It's not just changing your mornings.
Just one tiny related habit that I picked up at a workshop I went to overseas. This guy was talking about if you're going to complain, then just say three things you're grateful for before you complain.
Mm.
And I wish I could credit him. I can't remember his name. Oh, actually, I can. His name is Lee, and he was a trainer at Strategic Coach. And okay. Lee talked about this technique, and I've tried it, and it's really quite amazing.
Because you can't complain after that, can you?
Not really, and I always use reference points. You know, for whatever's bad in my day, there's plenty of people with way worse days than me. I've got first world challenges only. You know, if I snap a surfboard or what have you, it's really not the end of the world. It's something that, you know, I'm still grateful that I can surf or that I live near a beach or whatever. By the time I get to the snap surfboard, whatever, it really doesn't seem that bad in contrast. So I can see how doing affirmations every day or journaling and scribing, as you call it, where you're writing down things and seeing progress, I can see how if you do that every day, your entire life perception can lift. And, you know, our model of the world is constantly changing. Even if we don't, people change it around us, don't they? And in a previous episode that I had with Seth Ellsworth, he was saying that everything we have is a result of the decisions that we made or that others made on our behalf.
Yeah.
And I liked that philosophy. And what we're saying here is by journaling, by doing your MPR, you're making decisions every day, and you're choosing to do this exercise. The exercise is powering you up. If you go back to episode one, it's making you more confident and it's giving you more focus. And there's no question that I got both of those things just from the affirmation and visualization components of this. But, you know, it's when I found surfing that my life completely transformed. So I'm a big advocate for exercise, and especially finding the right type of exercise, which we covered in module two. So we've covered the idea that you should review it until you shouldn't review it anymore, which sounds funny, doesn't it?
Well, review it for 1 week, for the first week, and then make the tweaks and then close it off.
Do it for a month, you said. And you said at some point in the future, it's actually regression if we keep reviewing it.
Yes.
Why is that? That sounds interesting.
It's actually proven, I can't remember the name of the book now, but Changeology. So basically it's actually a proven thing that once you've decided on a course of action and you've done your homework, which in our case is deciding everything and testing it for a week and then making the adjustments, after that point, you should just commit and let the habit take place or the change take place. Because if you keep reviewing it and analyzing it, you know, we are intelligent human beings. We'll always find a way to intellectualize why we shouldn't do something. So you will find, if you let your mind, if you give yourself an option to change things, you will find a reason why, you should skip the meditation session, you know, or why you shouldn't go and exercise today, or, you know. So you'll find a way to escape it because it is, you know, changing habits is not an easy thing. So you'll find a way to go the easy route, which is going back to the status quo. So,
we talked about reviewing, optimizing, and evolving. Is the optimizing and the evolving part different than the review?
So the review comes before and optimizing, and then evolving it. The evolving part is after the 1 month, because like I said, after the 1 month, when you've committed to doing it the same way, you'll start learning things about yourself that you didn't know you could do, first of all, and you didn't.
So your status quo has changed.
Exactly. So you get a new normal, basically. You get a new baseline. And the reason why I say a month, it's not because, you know, the usual thing of takes 21 days to form a habit. It's not nothing to do with that. It's just that a month is long enough for you to establish whether this thing is benefiting you or not, right?
Yeah, that 21 days thing's bullshit, right?
Yeah, it's absolutely.
Because I remember when there was a Coke machine in the lunchroom at the work that I was at. It didn't take someone 21 times to figure out if they put a coin in that the Coke wouldn't come out when the thing was jammed up. It would take like about $2 and, you know, like 1 day at the most for that behavior to stop, to make someone go across the road instead and buy a Coke in the shop across the road. So, yeah, I think we're capable of modifying our behavior.
Yeah.
Much faster with the right tools.
Exactly. And that's a very good segue into the elements, the tips that I wanted to give everybody to make things easier and more secure.
Oh, are these the super tips?
The super tips. I forgot what I called them.
You did allude to these super tips. Let's finish out this three-part series with the five, not four, not three, not two or one, but five.
I think there's six, actually. Sorry.
You are funny. In the first episode, you threw me with the seven and six. But all right, how many do you want? Do I hear six?
I'll give you six.
All right. Well, six is my favorite number, so that sounds great. Six super tips. Lay them on us.
To make your NPR sing for you. Okay, so first of all, you should have a mini routine. After you've established your big savers routine, have a mini routine that you can default to if basically life takes you by the bollocks and you can't do the whole lot, right? Because what happens if you can't do your morning power routine because of life circumstances, you get this feeling of, oh, I'm not, you know, I didn't do my thing today. And then there's this guilt feeling and that's not good for you. So just to give you a brief example, for me, I do this 5x5, which is actually 3x5. But, you know, so I'll do my minimum journaling as my three things to be grateful for. And then I'll do 5 minutes meditation, 5 affirmation, 5 visualization, and then 5 sun salutations.
So for me, that would be like when I travel inland, then I can just pull up the surf cam instead of going for surf. So I get my visualization, meditation, and exercise all in one little app.
Oh, exactly. But then you still feel like I did my power routine, I'm still in charge here, I'm still on course, etc.
Exactly. Right? I get to watch a few people riding my local wave and I feel like I was there. I was doing it and it's good. I'm reconnected.
Absolutely. Cool. So the next tip is prep your work day the night before, which is something you said you already do, and that's a really, really great habit. You do it through journaling. The way I do things is, and it's not better or worse, it's actually not even the same thing, technically, but at the end of...
Let's just like, yeah, they're very distanced.
Yeah, it's got nothing to do with what you just said, but prep your work day the night before, and usually what I do is I will decide what my priorities are for my day. For the following day, I decided at the close of the previous day. And that way, just like with your journaling, basically I remove all anxiety about, oh, what am I going to tackle tomorrow? And also the next day, you basically diverting any kind of events that can dislodge you from your course, right? Or it's less likely that they'll dislodge you. You know what you're going to do, and then you can just focus on doing your morning power routine with a clear head.
And for me, it's just I simply just look at my calendar the next day to see what my time blocks look like. So I'll see when is my first appointment, and it's only on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursdays that I have appointments. So Friday, for example, I'm always very excited about. I don't have anything there, so I know I could wake up whenever I want. I'm not worried about missing out on something, and it's clear. But yeah, I find by just looking, what have I got on tomorrow? I only need to know what's on tomorrow. And I've even told my scheduler not to let appointments be booked within 24 hours. So it won't change on me overnight, which would suck.
That's brilliant. Yeah. That's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, just a little thing.
And some people are so, and I'm not saying this is you, obviously, but some people are so traumatized by change or something disturbing their preset schedule that if you, you know, like something like scheduling a meeting within 24 hours can totally derail them. And it literally stuffs them.
Yeah. And so for me, I'm totally cool with change and I could easily handle it, but it's unnecessary. I'd probably be irritated by it, but not unsettled, just because I value my space. And I was the person who resists having a scheduler. I was the one who held off the longest because I thought it's like giving up freedom. But what I found, and it's really a recurring theme here, like, you know, the word routine is in MPR. The routine actually sets you free. And by definition, every block on my calendar that's not shaded out for someone else is mine. It's all mine. And I protect my calendar, but I do say, okay, well, I'm realistic and I expect that I will need to record a podcast, for example. We're doing this right now. That was in my schedule. It was committed. It was accounted for. But 10 minutes before we were recording, I came in on my last wave. And, you know, that time was for me. That was my time. And after this podcast, I'll go and have a private dinner and relax. And I don't have any other commitments until 3 days from now. So it works out by blocking that space. But that's my evening prepping the workday. Is my workday is already pre-filled and other people put their stuff there, you know, with permission from me without me having to get involved in it. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's absolutely, it's a golden rule.
What else you got? So that's two tips so far.
Third tip is something you do already as well, really well. And we alluded to it in episode one, and that's have good sleep habits. And I know you've done a really good podcast with
Andre
Obradovich.
Yes, a sleep coach.
Yeah. So,
and we'll link to that in the show notes. I'm mad about my sleep. I passionately like sleep.
Everybody should be, because it's if you read on, you know, in terms of medical terms, it all starts with good sleep. Your adrenal glands have to be reset, etc. Incidentally, one thing I would say, you mentioned that you like a good glass of water as soon as you wake up. If you add a quarter teaspoon of good Himalayan salt or sea salt, not table salt, to that, and you make that cocktail, it's the ultimate kind of adrenal support, by the way, because your body is exhausted coming up from the sleep. It's basically been repairing the whole night, and your adrenal glands need support also through your electrolytes. So just adding that quarter teaspoon in salt would be amazing.
Cool. Either that or a Gatorade, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
just for people don't know, we have this food discussions. Anita sends me food tables and charts and things that are good to eat and bad to eat. I mean, I know she's an expert on this MPR stuff, but she knows so many other things. So, yeah, that's a great tip. A little bit of salt in the water. Thank you.
To repair the adrenals, yes, all that stress. Okay, so good sleep is quite an obvious. I'm not going to hop on about it. Go and listen to the podcast by Andre. And then the next point I want to share was to, well, we've already alluded to that, so I'll be very brief with that, is put a time next to each of the elements, because that would help you psychologically to not stress out about, oh, how long is this going to carry on for? You know, you just know. You know it's going to be, let's say, 45 minutes. And that's it. You schedule it in just like any other appointment, and you just show up and you execute.
It's like this philosophy I've had, and I talk to contractors a lot, is you got to pay yourself first.
Oh, absolutely.
There's no more important person to put into your scheduler than you. And like I was just saying before, when you have other people in your schedule, then all the rest of the time is for you. So block yourself in there. And I build my scheduling tool around my surfing preferences. So I block that in first and then everything else around that. And that makes me happy every day. It sounds such a simple thing, and everyone jokes about it, like, ha ha ha, you know, how's your surfing or whatever. But really, it's such a driver. It makes my life better. And so block time for yourself. I think this 45 minutes or whatever it turns out to be after your review and optimization and evolving, block it in first, pay yourself first. Then once you're set up, you're going to be providing better value to anyone else you come into contact with anyway.
Absolutely. And I mean, you're alluding to my fifth tip that I wanted to share, which is basically...
So people are going to think that this is all written down and I'm... it's not. We're just... This is good logical stuff.
You just have the power of reading my mind. That's all it is.
is that number five? Mind reading?
No. So number five is, again, going back to make sure you have a rock solid powerhouse why. You know, why are you doing all of this? There's no point of an NPR at all if it's not going to make your life better and you happier, etc. It's unnecessary. If it makes you miserable and makes you go to sleep with dread in your heart because you got to go and do these 6-7 elements or whatever, don't do it. So make sure you have a really powerful powerhouse why, and you know what your end result is. You know why you're doing the whole thing is why you're doing this. And you said, James, you've got that other podcast that I still refer people to quite a lot. Is Are You Leaving Life on the Table? And that's kind of, you know, the only point to life. Is to live it.
That's it. I think too many people are leading other people's lives, especially in some cultures.
Mm.
But it's quite prevalent in the entrepreneurial space. They're, you know, they're going for those big deals. They want a $1 billion company, or they want this, and their FOMO, their fear of missing out, is all monetary related, or ego, or prowess, etc. And what they're going to get to the end and go, well, that was crap. You know, what was the point of all that? You know, be very careful what you wish for, because the chances are you'll get it. And that's why I put a lot more focus on the wishing part, which is the why. You know, what would be your fairy tale magic wand scenario? Because you can get it in the environment we're in now if you want. And it is the driver. I think some people are still working on their parents' whys, or some society why, or, you know, the people are hanging around with, the peer group whys, instead of their own.
And it's proven that, you know, basically after the age of 7, we start to basically be the people that other people are projecting onto us. So unless you do some self-work to find out who you were before that age of 7, you know, the real you, then you're in for a really turbulent ride. It's like, you know.
So we should stop seeking approval from others, you know, and quite often strangers.
Yeah. Which leads me into the sixth element or sixth.
No, seriously?
Believe it or not. And also you mentioned the person that I attribute this to primarily. I know it's not his original concept, but he's the one that I heard it from originally, and that's Seth Ellsworth.
Right.
And his methodology for habit formation is to own it, you know, the I am method. You have to identify with what you're doing, because otherwise it's always going to be a foreign body, right? It's always going to be like a fake thing that's stuck on the side of you type of thing. I'm tempted to say maybe bum enlargements, but maybe people listening have bum enlargements, so I'm not judging. But you have to own this routine. So you have to make it something that feels natural, but it also has to feel right, and you have to identify with it. And sometimes it's easy as just saying, I am the type of person that does a morning power routine. That's it, right? That might work for you. Or sometimes it's about, you know, these sun salutations that I do really make me feel physically supple and powerful, and my brain is nice and clear because of the blood circulation, breathing, etc. So find out whatever it is for you, and be brave. You know, don't just dictate to yourself, rather than, again, like we were saying earlier, rather than let your environment dictate on you what you should feel and what you should be doing. Be brave. You've been in this life for a while. You should know what you like and what you dislike. So own it is my sixth tip.
Have you had a scenario where someone's done morning power routines and stepped backwards or not got something from it?
No, actually, the people that I've worked with, and I know the answer no sounds like, oh, it's impossible, but maybe the people I've worked with, basically, I've selected very well, because I don't like working with people that are not willing to do the work, basically, right? Because without the work, they don't get results. So the people I've worked with typically have a massive breakthrough with just one element of the routine. And then that just gets their buy-in for the rest of it. And then they'll evolve it. And this is another thing I wanted to, a point I wanted to make in this episode was, your MPR is a living, moving thing, right? You don't decide on this for life. It's about what your powerhouse why and your end result is for the moment. And then in a year's time, it will change. It's not might change. It will definitely change. So just allow it to serve you. And yeah, and people usually have this massive breakthrough with one of the elements, and then it just, like, they're fired up because they can just see how it will work for them.
Wow. This is good stuff. So why don't we just wrap up our three-part series with a summary of what we've been talking about. And I guess it all starts with taking stock. You know, are you doing an MPR now by this stage in the series? What is it? What sort of benefit are you getting from it? Is there something missing or something else you want it to do for you? I guess that's the first step, right?
Yeah, the powerhouse why. Why are you doing it and what do you want out of it, basically? What's your end result?
And then you might just fill in the gaps and see, well, how many of the savers you already have? Are there some elements missing? Do you want to change the sequence around or the duration perhaps?
And also worth noting over here, just very briefly, when we talk about meditation comes in all different shapes and sizes. So even, let's say you're surfing, James, sitting on that board waiting for the next wave. That's meditation, just active meditation as opposed to sitting still. So find what works for you and include it in there.
Okay, and the next step would be then to just test and observe, like just play around with that. I think you used the word tweak. Do your MPR for a week.
Yep.
Check out if there's anything sort of not quite right, makes you feel uncomfortable, especially paying attention to the time. You've stressed that several times, so I think it's worth putting an extra highlight on and see if you've got them in the right sequence.
Yes. Does it flow? Does it flow well?
Does it flow? And then finishing up, then it's time to just optimize it, see what changes come from the observation that you did in the previous step, and then you commit to your MPR for a solid 30 days without analysis, without compromising, without adapting or fiddling around with it. And then it just becomes internalized. I suppose that is your MPR. You're owning it, like, as you said.
Yeah, and it's at the end of that 1 month, you know, you come out with lessons and then evaluate from that if you want to change anything after that or not.
Well, Anita, I just want to say thank you for sharing all this information. Over these three episodes, we've covered a lot of ground, everything from how to create your MPRs to how to execute and then review and optimize and evolve them for the long term. We got the six, no less, super tips. And you've shared some great information. I know you've been working with people over in 1%club.co. That's the number 1%club.co, over there with Andre Chaperon as well. And if you want to hang out with Anita, that's where you could do it. We'll check out if there's any comments or questions. Be thrilled to know if you're getting results from doing this. Come back to the post at superfastbusiness.com and let us know. Look for the Power Focus series. I'm sure you'll find the episode. And just leave a comment there. Tell us how it's going and if you got some value from this podcast. And by the way, if you know someone who you think should be listening to this, if you think it could improve their life a little bit or you've recognized their status quo is not quite where it could be, then please refer them to episode 1 of this series, How to Create Your MPR. And, you know, we would be really appreciative of you sharing that podcast. And, Anita, thank you so much for sharing.
Thanks for having me on. And, yeah, I hope I didn't waffle on for too long.
I think it was fantastic. And I'm grateful for you doing all that research, putting together the information, taking your testers through this and proving it. And I can relate to so many of the things you've talked about from my own experience, and it just gives it a little better structure. So it's been really valuable for me, and I'm sure for anyone listening.
Yeah. Thanks, James.
Discover how to build your business
super fast.
Check out superfastbusiness.com.